The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walzer, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Hey everyone, I'm Danielle D'Souza Gill, your host this week. Dinesh is in Israel on a Salem tour, so I'm here while he's gone. I love doing this podcast. It is so much fun. I typically do my own show, Counterculture, on Epic Times. It is really fun to switch it up, though, and do this show for a while. So if you like the content I'm putting out here, make sure to follow me on social media. I am on all the platforms, but I upload a lot of videos onto Rumble and Facebook. I am slowly building my YouTube as well, but let's be honest, it's a little bit difficult on there being censored. So definitely find my Rumble channel and also my Facebook page at Danielle D'Souza Gill. We have a lot of exciting topics to get to today. We're going to be talking about the protests going on in China, the Balenciaga scandal, and blue-collar workers leaving the Democrat Party. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy, in a time of confusion, division, and lies. We need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
I try to eat healthy, but I'm not a big fan of the flavor of veggies. But I have to admit, when I'm in the produce section, all those vibrant colors of fruits and veggies look really good. Dr. Howard at Balance of Nature told us that all those colors you see in the produce section equal nutritional variety. Different colors signify different key nutrients. If you eat only your favorite one or two veggies, you're missing a whole world of vital nutrients. That's why I take these six little capsules of fruits and veggies each day. Daily Dose is made up of a blend of 31 different fruits and veggies, and that's the only way we can possibly get what we need. So give your body everything it needs with Balance of Nature. For a limited time, all new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Call 800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code America. If you've been paying attention to American politics for the past decade or so, you might have noticed that the majority of our representatives spend very little time and energy actually representing us. Looking at the estimated net worth of politicians like Nancy Pelosi, it becomes clear that the longer you work in politics, the greater your overall wealth. The reporting requirements for politicians only mandate that members report in ballpark figures. So the estimated worth of Nancy Pelosi, for example, ranges from the rising $41 million since 2004 or gaining as much as $115 million since 2008. So even if you go by the lower range estimate, Pelosi's bank account has grown at rates which far exceed those of the average American, even compared to her constituents in San Francisco and Silicon Valley. With so much money in their own coffers, it's interesting that these members of the American aristocracy are always begging for more from voters and billionaire donors alike. You have to wonder why they don't follow Trump's own lead and donate their government salaries instead of enriching themselves at the expense of the American taxpayer. But let's be honest, they aren't in it for us. The data is pretty conclusive that Nancy Pelosi looks after the needs of Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, the average American citizen has to deal with smaller wages, higher prices, and fewer jobs. So if most Americans aren't making out like the Capitol Swamp bandits, how is it that these same people keep getting reelected? The answer is that DC has perfected a political two-step where politicians run on one set of promises but never deliver. When it comes time to run again, they boldly declare their belief in a certain set of principles and goals, the people reelect them, and the cycle repeats. In other words, These swamp creatures have perfected the art of insulating themselves from the consequences of their actions. As the Trump administration has shown, a healthy understanding of cause and effect does wonders for making the machinery of government actually work for the people it's supposed to serve. But this proved too disruptive for the establishment, so they've spared neither expense nor tactic in finding creative ways in trying to get rid of Trump. They want to go back to the old days where the needs of their constituents were a minor concern dealt with over the course of a handful of months during election season. And for Democrats, the concerns of their constituents are even less of an afterthought because they've perfected a new kind of election system where instead of campaigning and focusing on voter turnout on election day, they focus on mail-in ballots leading up to election day. And you can see the magnitude of this disconnect by the types of candidates they foist on their supporters. You have pro-Palestinian anti-Semites, people who wore blackface or supported Klansmen, people who've slept with known Chinese spies, falsified intelligence for political purposes, and of course the dead guy who got elected in Pennsylvania. One look at this cohort of the Democrat Party's best and brightest, and you immediately understand that anyone crying about candidate quality after the 2022 midterms clearly hasn't seen Fetterman. There are many horrible things that will happen now that so many in government have become untouchable. The establishment has basically cut itself off from reality. And this will only exacerbate scenarios like Ukraine, which has become a funding priority for Biden. Meanwhile, most Americans don't want war. The question then for Americans who see poking the Russian nuclear bear as a bad thing is, what can we do about it? The only recourse in our current situation is to side with the one party with the strongest sense of accountability, and that party is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Republican Party, especially the conservative wing of the party, which is particularly focused on delivering results for their voters, as radical as that concept can be nowadays. And this is not just lip service to the party. You see, most Americans don't have the luxury of living apart from the consequences of their actions. People in the hard studies like physics, math, and engineering, for example, they can't afford the luxury of wishing reality away like your average gender studies major. Also, small business owners have to maintain a keen awareness of anything that might affect their bottom line. And then you have your blue-collar worker, a demographic which once skewed very heavily towards the left has now all but abandoned it. According to one town hall article before the election, a sharp divide has manifested between union leadership on the one hand and the actual union workers. It appears those union leaders have mastered the same trick that their Democrat masters did when it comes to insulating oneself from experiencing the ramifications of their own decisions. So this divide between actual worker and union bosses makes a lot of sense. The two groups have completely different perspectives when it comes to results. As anyone who has worked in an assembly line can tell you, the whole day is one long string of cause and effect. Place the metal sheet into the stamper and it cuts out the right shape. Do it poorly and the cut will be in the wrong place and you've just cost the company however much money it took to get that metal sheet to the stamper in the first place. That's a pretty big consequence, but it could be worse. The assembly line worker could be careless about how they place the sheet and end up shearing off their hand or fingers. Your average blue-collar worker faces these kinds of dire consequences thousands of times a day. Yet when it comes to their union leadership, it's not even a question if the politician they support wants open borders in order to flood the market with cheap labor and suppress wages across the board. Or how about the politicians who get kickbacks for outsourcing jobs to China, all because someone in D.C. thinks America doesn't need to have an industrial or manufacturing base anymore? Then you have the people who work in energy, another sector of the American economy that the left is hell-bent on destroying. You could accuse them of being self-destructive here. How can you run a country without energy? But the fact is, again, that Democrats have no idea that these policies are what's crippling the economy and raising food prices so much. They also haven't figured out that without blue-collar workers, the entire country would devolve into tribes of hunter-gatherers within weeks. The left has completely forgotten about the blue-collar worker, but we haven't. Will the absence of a red wave during the midterms lead to a more emboldened Biden? More pork barrel spending? Higher taxes? A deepening of inflation? If you're unsure how the next 2 years will unfold, talk to Birch Gold Group about protecting your savings with gold. That's why I buy Birch Gold, too. Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or 401k into an IRA in precious metals. That's right. They'll help you own gold and silver in a tax-sheltered account. Here's what you need to do. Text Dinesh to 989898 to claim your free info kit on gold, and then talk to one of their precious metals specialists. They will hold your hand through the whole process. Protect yourself with gold today by texting Dinesh to 989898. With an A-plus rating in the Better Business Bureau and thousands of happy customers, Birch Gold is who I trust to protect my future and yours. Text Dinesh to 989898 today. I'm delighted to welcome to the podcast my husband, Brandon. He's the founder and editor of DCEnquirer.com. He's been retruthed by Trump regularly and frequently has the most interesting news stories up. So make sure to subscribe and check out DCEnquirer.com. Brandon, thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Brandon and I are not in the same room right now. I'm recording this at a radio station and he's at home. So that's why we're like not in the same place, but normally we would be. So, Brandon, I want to start by discussing this Balenciaga scandal with you, because this has been a major issue in the news. If people don't know, basically what happened is Balenciaga released these ad campaigns that showed children in almost like a BDSM fashion, doing poses and different things like that. And so they received some backlash from this, although it clearly has not been enough backlash. Brandon, what is kind of your reaction to this?
Right. Well, it's interesting because there were two different pictures that came out. One of them was a Balenciaga photo shoot where you had a little child who looked like she was probably 3 or 4, who was holding a teddy bear dressed in BDSM gear. So, leather type straps and things like that. And in front of them was a bed that they were standing on. That had all kinds of Balenciaga products on it. The other one was similar, and I believe it was an Adidas sort of crossover ad where it was another child holding a similarly garbed teddy bear. It's also interesting to note that these were separate ads. And as soon as this became public, as soon as people on Twitter started to pick up on the things that were in these ads, Balenciaga initially apologized, and then they pulled the ad altogether. I think it's really telling what happened here, though. Balenciaga did pull the ads, but I think whenever you think about what was the controversy here, Balenciaga wasn't upset that they did something wrong. I think that they weren't really even upset that they got caught, as some people are sort of assuming. I think what happened is, from their standpoint, they're saying they pushed the bar too far too soon, and that's why they're sorry and why they're regretful. This is a company, like most high fashion brands, who kind of makes it their MO to push the boundary as far as they possibly can every single year. So it starts with sexualizing children, and then you start getting into other sort of abnormal situations that they want to promote, and then now we're at a pretty explicit sexualization of young children. So the problem isn't that they did something bad from their perspective. It wasn't even that they got caught. It's just that they went too far too soon. This is something that conservatives have been warning about for a long time, as this more pervasive libertine sexual culture has seeped into high society and now is being pushed on the rest of us, whether we like it or not.
Right. And this is one of the major problems with the left constantly trying to, as you mentioned, push the boundary, shock people, because they think that's what gets eyeballs, that's what gets attention, that's what makes a good ad, making it as weird and disturbing as possible. But I think when it comes to these things with the children, it's really not a coincidence, because millions of dollars goes into these shoots. They plan these things out ahead of time. They have, you know, the company, obviously Balenciaga, but then all the people they hire, they have stylists, they have the models. So a lot goes into these shoots. And like you said, there were also multiple different photos from different campaigns that had similarly disturbing imagery. We then saw Kim Kardashian. She tweeted about this, saying basically that she would reevaluate her relationship with Balenciaga. So what's your reaction there?
Right. Well, you've had, what's interesting is not as much the people who are saying things. It's how many people have been silent. lots of celebrities work with Balenciaga. And I have a list right here. Here are some of them who have worked with them recently. Bella Hadid, Nicole Kidman, neither one of them have said anything. And they were both involved in this spring 2023 campaign that had these children. Kylie Jenner, Khloe Kardashian, Alexa Demi, Doja Cat, and Salma Hayek, whose husband actually owns Balenciaga, which is owned by, Balenciaga is owned by a company called Kering. And then you have Kim Kardashian, who's made kind of a brief statement saying that she was disturbed by the images. But what's really telling is that none of these people are actually cutting ties with Balenciaga. Most of them aren't saying a thing about it. Why is that? It's because they're getting paid so much. Just imagine if this happened, if Balenciaga made an offensive comment about another protected community, whether that be a racial community or the LGBTQ community. All of these people would immediately disavow Balenciaga and they would never work with them again. We see that time and again. But now that it's about exploiting children, it's dead silent. It says so much about what is considered culturally acceptable and what isn't to this elite class of celebrities and Hollywood people and high fashion and high society.
Yeah. Yeah. It tells you a lot about Kim Kardashian, who was willing to cut ties with her husband, the father of her children, Kanye West, known as Ye, but not Balenciaga, because she knows that Balenciaga pays her a lot of money. And unfortunately, when you're someone like Kanye West, even if you said something anti-Semitic or whatever it was, that everyone will drop you immediately. You will lose all your brand deals. You will be a complete pariah. But if you're Balenciaga, that basically errs on the side of child exploitation, then you're going to continue to have a successful business. And we haven't seen Balenciaga dropped by any kind of bank, by any kind of other company. Balenciaga itself is actually still quite successful. I don't really think they've suffered the consequences of this other than maybe having to pull the ad, which they put some money into. But this isn't really a unique phenomenon because other people in Hollywood are disturbing as well. And they have their own agenda when it comes to children. I mean, we think back to all of the disturbing stories that came out, even about Kevin Spacey with, you know, young boys, all of these things. So Hollywood has a real underpinning of exploitation of kids. And I think that's coming out to the forefront because they're not really hiding it anymore. And they think that it's kind of makes them a cool brand or makes them, you know, something that may not have even gotten backlash. Because if the backlash had never occurred, I don't think Balenciaga would have said, oh, it's something we need to remove. And as long as the left keeps allowing them to do things like this, they will continue to do it. So I think it's good that people spoke up against this. But this is really just one example of that, right?
Oh, totally. And what's really telling is if you look at how some of the media have covered this. So similarly, the issue isn't that children were being exploited, which they clearly and very obviously were. The issue is that this is a right-wing conspiracy theory. So here's a headline from the New York Times talking about this. Instead of discussing the children involved, the headline is, "When High Fashion and QAnon Collide." The View responded to this in kind of a similar way. Alyssa Griffith, who is the kind of ostensibly the conservative on the cast, turned this into an issue about how this plays into right-wing conspiracy theories about how Hollywood is full of pedophiles. So the issue isn't that any of these people actually care about the children involved. It's that they care about the image that Hollywood is being portrayed in. Hollywood is being portrayed in a negative light. Whether it's true or not, nobody cares. The issue is that they're being portrayed this way, and it plays into right-wing sort of conspiracy theories, as they say it. It's really sickening, is what it is.
Even though this is not a conspiracy theory, and actually right. A lot of what happened in Hollywood is based on evidence, and I thought that people in Hollywood were supposed to be all about Time's Up or Me Too or whatever, but apparently that doesn't apply if you're underage, but it really truly is sickening.
It is. I mean, these are the same people that glamorized and defended Harvey Weinstein for years and years and years when it was well known, a lot of the stuff that he was doing. So a lot of these kind of criticisms fall on deaf ears now.
aches and pains come to us all eventually, whether from the normal wear and tear of time or from injury. You have the choice to feel trapped by aches and pains, or you can fight back against it. The tools are different now from a decade ago. Now there's 100% drug-free relief factor. I fought back with RF, and you can too. RF supports your body's fight against inflammation that is the source of aches and pains. About 70% of the over 500,000 people who try Relief Factor order more, because it works for them. You have nothing to fear and everything to gain. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? I've heard great things about Relief Factor. If you know someone who has experienced aches and pains, this is the perfect gift for them. I know that my mother-in-law, who had a very invasive knee surgery with a long recovery, tried Relief Factor and found that it worked wonders for her. You should give it a try too. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246. Feel the difference. Okay, Brandon, I would also like to ask you a little bit about these protests going on in China right now. This is actually historic. We haven't seen protests this great in China since Tiananmen Square. And it's crazy what's happening in China. Of course, China is trying to censor this. They're trying to make sure other people in China don't see that this is happening. They're removing the information from their search engines, phones, and so on. But it's actually crazy. And so what these people in China are protesting against is lockdowns. And we've actually seen, it's odd, Canada, Justin Trudeau, as well as CNN and other places have sort of been covering this going on in China, yet they did not cover those protests going on here or in Canada, protests to lockdowns, and we're actually in favor of a lot of lockdowns. But it seems like they're starting to cover this going on in China for some reason. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's interesting because a lot of the things that China is doing are really kind of a blueprint for the American left, whether it's censorship that leftists here are trying to sort of copy in the form of social media suppression, or whether it's even these COVID policies that now American politicians, at least some of them, are at least paying lip service to. What China is doing now in some ways is a little different than what other Western countries have done. China has a set of almost concentration-like camps that they put people who they think have been contaminated with COVID into. That's the same thing Australia did, and nobody in the West really said anything about that. Some of the crackdowns on anti-COVID lockdown protests in Canada looked pretty similar to what's going on in China, just on a smaller scale. And some of those were repressed quite harshly as well. So I think it's a little bit too late, too little too late now. You know, the narrative really is that these lockdowns are outdated, that maybe that was something that should have been done whenever Western countries did them. It was fine. That was at the beginning of the pandemic. We didn't know what was happening. But now that we have the vaccine and we have more knowledge about what's going on, now that China's doing it, it's not okay. And to be clear, these lockdowns shouldn't happen anywhere in China or in the West, but it kind of a lot of these criticisms are hollow at this point because a lot of Western countries did similar things.
They did. And I think it kind of reminds me of that Atlantic article I read where the woman who wrote that said, oh, you know, we need amnesty and so on for people who impose these lockdowns. So all is forgiven. It's okay now. We didn't know what we were doing. Well, look, I understand for 2 weeks, first 2 weeks to slow the spread, or, you know, when this first came out at the very beginning when people didn't really know what was happening. But after that, there's really not an excuse because people were literally losing their jobs, not to mention the mandates and things that got much worse than that. But when we look at China, it's actually crazy videos we've seen. And I'm actually finding a lot of these videos on Twitter because Twitter is uncensored, I think. And I saw a very disturbing video in a department store where you're walking and every second you're basically seeing a policeman, a security guard, making sure everyone's in line. I also saw another video of people literally in the streets, like in pain. It's actually really sad, but also at the same time, perhaps good because people are standing up to what's going on.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think we have to give credit to a lot of these people. You know, protesting in America can get you into trouble, as we know in January 6th. In Canada, it can get you into trouble. But we're talking about a different level of repression in China. And these people are unbelievably brave to go to the streets the way they have. I mean, this is, you know, some of the response to this really does kind of resemble the Tiananmen Square massacre from 1989. I mean, people are very literally putting their lives on the line to protest these lockdown policies. So we should be we should really look up to these people in that respect. So absolutely, no, for sure. And I think one thing that's interesting about sort of how America has responded to this is how weak we have been. So Biden put out a statement after several days of these protests happening that we're kind of just paying lip service to saying, you know, we support free speech and everything. But we've got American companies who are operating in China who are employing people in basically slave labor conditions. Apple, for example, does that. Apple also has cooperated directly with the Chinese Communist Party in putting down some of these protests. And Apple's one of the largest companies in the world. So it's really shameful how some of the business and political leaders in the U.S. have responded to this.
Right. And of course, we know Biden, he has connections with China. We're not going to see him speaking out or doing anything when it comes to this. And unfortunately, China has these, you know, lobbyists in D.C. I had a friend who worked in D.C. and she said she knew Chinese. And so when she moved there, the Chinese were already giving her gifts at her job in D.C., basically from a young age, trying to buy her off and so on. But she rejected that. But basically, China tries to go after you and make you so that you're kind of a pawn of theirs, even when you're living in America and they're all the way in China. So it's crazy. But the people in China, they've experienced such suffering. And even when we think back to when COVID first began, they were at the center of a lot of this. And China didn't want the rest of the world to know. And I think back when Trump was stopping those flights, he got so much, you know, pushback from that because everybody wanted to make it as though it was about race or some kind of dumb regional thing like that, even though it was about safety. But it's just really sad to think what's happened to people there, because a lot of this began in China and now here we are. They're finally standing up for things. And so, yeah, it's not easy for them, but I commend them for their fighting for their freedom.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of these people have done far more to fight the Chinese communist regime than anybody in America has. If you think about some of the worst social ills in America right now are all coming either directly from China or have ties to China. Think about things like the fentanyl crisis. Some of that fentanyl is coming from China, was made in China, and a large piece of it, a large majority of it, is from labs in Mexico using chemicals that come from China. We know that. We also know, as you alluded, that the COVID-19 virus did come from China and may have actually come from a lab, and they suppressed the origins of it for months and months. So some of the worst things that have been happening in America recently are related to China, and very few people in our political and business elite class are saying anything about it. And like you said, these people are in China are putting their lives on the line, and they should absolutely be commended for it.
Yeah, and it reminds me of TikTok, because I saw recently Christine Noem banned her government workers from using TikTok. And I think that's great, because TikTok is a way that China is actually using this platform to gain information about us, to track us, to have a lot of American data. And it's disturbing. So definitely do not download TikTok. TikTok is something that we should have gotten rid of a long time ago. And that's something Trump wanted to do. But sadly, it hasn't happened.
That's exactly right.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to bring you my biggest bedding sale ever, just in time for Christmas. Get my Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98. A set of pillowcases, only $9.98. Rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. We also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. We even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more, all at the biggest discounts ever. I know my bedding products are perfect for you, and I'm extending my money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including my Giza Dream bed sheets, for as low as $29.98. Get all your shopping done now while quantities last.
Okay, Brandon, now I want to ask you a little bit about what's been happening at CNN. This article tells me CNN's new CEO, Chris Licht, informs employees of new layoffs underway as mass purge continues. Quote, today we will notify a limited number of individuals, largely some of our paid contributors, as part of a recalibrated reporting strategy. So it seems like CNN, they tried to make CNN Plus work. They tried to, you know, see if people would subscribe to that. That obviously was a bust and did not work out. So I was happy to hold a little funeral for CNN Plus there. But it seems like CNN itself is also not doing well. They got a new CEO. Hoping that would be better. I'd heard that they were wanting to make their platform or their network a little bit more center, make it maybe non-biased, make it more about reporting. I think they would actually be much more popular if they did that. But I don't think that's what they did. A lot of the same people are still there. They're still doing the same things they always have. So naturally, now they're laying off people. So what's your reaction?
Well, it's great to see, for one. I think one of the most fascinating things about the liberal media, and CNN is probably the best example of this, is the degree to which they were very willing to just throw away everything that the American public wants to see in order to push some far left ideological agenda that nobody wants to watch. So if you look at just thinking of CNN as a business, there's an enormous amount of demand for either center right content, or at least just straight down the line news media. And you see that because you see Fox News that's doing quite well economically, and you see other forms of media that's springing up, whether that's on social media or whether that's on talk radio or other places. Instead of kind of getting the message that this is what people want to see, CNN decided to go the other way and kind of go all in with the far left agenda, which we've seen people are not interested in hearing. And why is that? It's probably because they get it everywhere. There's nothing unique that CNN has to add to the political discussion, because what you see on CNN is the same thing you're getting from Hollywood. It's the same thing that's being pushed in elementary and middle schools and high schools and universities. It's the same thing you get from fashion designers like Balenciaga and from every other sort of arm of culture. So there's nothing new there, and people, there's no demand for it because people are tired of hearing the same thing. What's fascinating is how, knowing all of that, they've kept with that strategy even as they're burning hundreds of millions of dollars. And now they're kind of getting the, reaping the rewards of that. They had to get a new CEO. Part of that was because of another sexual scandal. And now they're laying off hundreds of people. So things are going really poorly, and hopefully this will be, a wake up call for them to sort of change course, but we'll see.
Yeah. And it reminds me of the fact that, you know, Tucker Carlson, he is one of the most successful primetime hosts on cable news, and the other networks, they see this and they know this, yet they don't try to replicate this. They don't say, oh, this is what the American people like to hear, why don't we do the same thing? No, they would never do that, purely because of ideology and purely because they wouldn't want those kinds of ideas put out to people. Yet they claim that they want to improve the network. So it clearly doesn't make sense, because they're actually not maybe focused on money, like so many Democrats who are politicians are all about money. But it seems like the networks, they're actually all about indoctrination, and they're all about their political ideology. They're not about making money or making the network something that people actually want to watch, because I guess the money they make is based off of the viewers and how many people actually tune in. And we're seeing that even someone like Don Lemon, who was supposedly popular and one of the, you know, more interesting people on CNN, has actually not been doing great. They sort of rebranded him to be a morning person, which is kind of weird, because he's just, that's not really his personality. So it's interesting to see how they're reprogramming, redoing things, and trying to appeal to people, yet clearly ignoring what the American people are looking for in terms of content. And I'm not even saying that they'd have to do the same things that Tucker Carlson does, for example, but they could try to venture outside of their scope and try something new. And I actually do think even something that was purely independent would be something other people would like to listen to.
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, they've tried the same thing, you know, kind of the common definition of stupidity is trying the same thing over and over and over again and expecting to get a different result. And that's what they've been doing for years and years and years. I mean, liberal bias in the media is nothing new. That's been happening since even before the George W. Bush administration. And look, they know that that's been a drag on their ratings. It's just that they've been able to hold on long enough, but eventually people do just stop watching. And that's the problem that they've had now. You're seeing that is coming also at a time whenever people are moving away from cable TV. They're able to get their news other places that's not CNN or MSNBC. So these companies have much more competition now than they did 20 years ago. So it's becoming increasingly unsustainable. So eventually CNN's either going to have to change and produce something that's at least sort of straight down the middle, or they're going to have to go away.
Yeah. And people can also always tune in to podcasts like these. They can find people whose voices they want to hear from. And as you mentioned, they can tune into them directly. They can listen to things on the internet. They can listen to podcasts. They can follow people on social media. They don't need to go through these barriers, go through tuning in on TV in order to hear something. Because not to mention, you know, that person oftentimes can't even say the things they truly believe. They aren't even actually a free agent. A lot of the time, their content is decided for them by the network or a producer. Even people at Fox are sometimes controlled by someone else. They're controlled by maybe a booker, whoever it is. They can't get someone on their own show that they want to have on. So they face all kinds of issues. But the good thing about this kind of more decentralized, modern way of hearing content is that usually you can just hear from the person directly. Now, they may be being censored on social media because that has been happening to conservatives for a long time. But if you go on alternate platforms, you really can hear from people and what they actually believe and the kind of content they want to put out there, which I think is really great because it takes a lot of the power away from the elites and the people who think that they can decide the only information that we get to hear. Or it used to be that if you wanted to be a journalist, you'd have to try to get a job at a certain publication because that would allow you to write thoughts that people would read. But now today, I mean, you started your own website, DC Inquirer, where people can read America First News, and you have great writers there, which would have been really difficult to do decades ago.
Right. And I think one of the consequences of that is we know that the left has controlled most levers of power in the media for several years. And that's created kind of a complacency on their side because they know that they have CNN, they have MSNBC, they have social media companies. They have most of other tech companies like Google and Microsoft who will do their bidding. So they've gotten complacent and they haven't really had to work for the level of cultural influence that they have. So the result of that is they don't really have quality commentators like the conservative side does. We have to fight to come up with interesting things to say to get airtime. We have to have really interesting things to say if you want to build up a social media account because you know that these platforms are suppressing you. So we've had to be clever to sort of work our way around a system that's stacked against us, whereas they haven't had to do that. So it's built up a much better sort of bench of conservative commentators on our side that the left just doesn't have. And I think that's something that they're starting to realize is that a lot of the talent that they have is nowhere near as good as what, for example, Fox has or what you can get on, you know, an anonymous Twitter account. And, you know, maybe they'll be able to change that. Maybe they won't. But that's something that's going to be helpful for the conservative side long term, especially as some of these barriers to free speech like at Twitter and other places are starting to come down.
Yeah, I love some of those Twitter accounts, Cat Turd, other memes, meme accounts. They're great. Brandon, I want to ask you about this story. It's been in the news all week. I think it's been in the news maybe longer than that. It's actually quite irritating to me because I'm so tired of the story. But it's all about how Kanye West brought Nick Fuentes to Mar-a-Lago to have dinner with Trump. Now, to give people a little recap who maybe haven't heard, basically, Trump posted on Truth Social that he did not know who Nick Fuentes was. And actually, I tuned into this podcast called Timcast. Tim Pool does this podcast. He actually had on Kanye West, Milo Yiannopoulos, his campaign manager, and Nick Fuentes. It was very brief, though, because Kanye walked off the set, as did Milo and as did Nick Fuentes, after about 20 minutes. But before walking off, Kanye actually did say that Trump did not know who Nick Fuentes was. So I think that exonerates Trump from this whole situation. Now, do I think that this never should have occurred? Of course, because I am wondering to myself, who is around Trump checking these things? Who's coming in? I think that his people, this was a failure of theirs to not check these things. But I don't think we can just blame Trump because, I'm sorry, Nick Fuentes is not that big of a person. Trump did not know who he was. But I do think that Kanye, Milo, Nick Fuentes, they're not helping us. They're not doing us any favors. And they certainly I don't want to say they're bad, but I mean, I'm sorry, but Kanye's not going to be president. He went there to ask Trump to be his vice president, which I just think is just crazy. Like, I'm sorry, but that is just not going to happen. Trump is not going to be your vice president. Trump has already declared he is running for president. Obviously, if Kanye runs to run, that's his decision, but it's going to split our vote if he runs third party. So really hope that doesn't happen. Milo had disappeared for ages and he recently resurfaced. So it was interesting to kind of see him for a couple minutes, but I just think this is such a distraction from what's happening in the news. Things we discussed today, like things going on in China that are actual news. But I feel like we have to discuss it because it's just so crazy and the left keeps writing articles about it. So Brandon, what's your reaction to the story?
Yeah, I agree with what you just said there. I think that it's, you know, it is a bit concerning that there wasn't somebody at Mar-a-Lago who was aware of who was at the table and could just say, hey, you know, you don't want to have dinner with these guys. This is going to cause you a big issue in the press. It's going to cause people to label you things that you're not, which is what we've seen over the past week. With that said, I mean, I think it's a little ridiculous how much this has been in the press. It's been over a week now. And this has been kind of the number one news story for almost that entire time. But I think we have to realize that, like you said, a lot of these people, whether it's Milo or Kanye or Nick Fuentes, these people are associated oftentimes with the conservative side or with the right. They're no friends of ours, and they're not friends of President Trump. They've kind of, all of them in different instances have said extremely negative things about the Republican Party, that they're ready to either burn it down or to move on. They've been extremely critical of President Trump and are not looking to boost him for 2024. So I think we just have to sort of be careful about who we're around and really just kind of realize this is something that shouldn't have happened, but it did. And it's kind of time to move on at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Trump did want to meet Kanye West, right? Kanye West supported him when Trump was in the White House. So I think he wanted to have that meeting, which is great. You want to have dinner with Kanye. That's cool. Or yay. But the Nick Fuentes thing is just ridiculous. I don't think he should have brought Nick Fuentes there. I'm not a fan of his at all. And I don't think he's someone that maybe Kanye even fully knows the extent to what that guy believes. But anyways, Brandon, I think you're right. It's time to move on from the story. So I don't want to give it too much airtime. But overall, I think Trump just needs to stay away. And hopefully this doesn't come up again in the future. So, Brandon, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.
Three.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.